turn with me again to the book of Acts chapter 13, the book of Acts chapter 13. Appreciate you being here on a Wednesday night. God bless you for doing the right thing and being in God's house. We appreciate you coming. God bless you. Acts chapter number 13. This is part three to this message. I preached on it Sunday morning and Sunday night, and now I'm preaching on it Wednesday night. We'll conclude this message tonight on this thought in verses 13 through 52 on the words give audience. The words give audience. This is found in verse number 16 where Paul stands up when he's in the synagogue there and he beckons with his hand and he says, give audience to what I'm about to say. And we've looked at this thought of give audience. It means to listen to it. It means to understand this. It means to listen intently to it, to be able to obey it. And we've looked at these different things that Paul is bringing out and different things in this passage that we ought to give audience to in our own life tonight. Now let's pray together, and I'll bring you up to date with where we are, and we'll read in just a moment the final passage of these verses. Father, would you bless this service, speak to our hearts, be with the Cadets for Christ program, would you breathe upon it. I pray that you'll speak to those children and those that are working with them, would you bless them in a special way, I pray. Help us as we go forward tonight now to be faithful to you and help us to be faithful to your word, not adding to it, not taking away from it, but just preaching what you've already preached in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in the first part of this chapter, we already considered the call of God and how the Holy Ghost called Barnabas and Paul to the mission field. That's the opening 12 verses. When we come to verse number 13, we read the first sermon that was ever preached by Paul in writing, is what I'm saying to you here. And it's a powerful message indeed. And he uses these words, give audience. Now, there's three things we've already shared with you that we ought to give audience to. We'll pick up with number four here momentarily. Number one, we notice that we ought to give audience to the departure of John. Secondly, we ought to give audience to the opportunity that Paul had. Thirdly, we preached on this Sunday morning, Sunday night, we ought to give audience to the message that Paul preached. Now, I want to read with you verses 42 down through the end of the chapter and give you the fourth and final thing that we should give audience to in this passage. Look at verse number 42. This is after Paul preaches his message. He's done with it. Verse 42. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath day came, almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And when we read these verses, we think to ourselves, what can we get here? And the fourth and final thing that we see in this passage as we're thinking about these words, give audience, understand this, listen to this, hear this, act upon it, let it change your life. The fourth thing is this, and that is we see the results of the message. The results of the message. As we come to verse number 42 down to the end of the chapter here, we read the different results that took place as a result of the message that Paul had preached. Now, there are three of them. I want to give them to you here tonight. Number one, we need to keep this in mind. These are good, fresh reminders. Number one, we learned tonight the first result was some wanted the message. There were some who wanted it. This is found in verses 42, 43, 44, verses 47 and 48. Now, we understand here when you read these verses that one of the results of Paul's message is that there were some who were interested in it. Matter of fact, when they heard it, they begged them to come back a week later, the next Sabbath, and preach again these same words. You read in verse 44 that almost the whole city came together in just a week's time. Now, folks, this is not the thought here, but this had to be due to the people spreading the news around the city. May I say this to you? I know that there are gimmicks and all these other kind of ways to try to build a church. But may I say this to you? There's nothing that's going to take the place of prayer, perspiration. I'm talking about knocking doors, and the people who are in the church get on fire and go tell everybody else, you've got to come hear this message. You've got to come hear this message. Folks, the message that comes forth from this pulpit, this place needs. Can I get an amen there, please? I mean, they need to hear the gospel in clear terms. Now, folks, listen to me. Everybody has influence. Everybody does. Could you imagine if just the teenagers in this church understood what I said? Could you imagine if just the teenagers would go to their schools and say, I've got to get this school to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I've got to do everything I can to get my friends to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I'm telling you, this whole city, the Bible says almost the whole city came. Let me ask you a question. How'd they know to come? Who told them? It had to be the people who were there on that particular Sabbath day. Now, folks, we see something here. Now, we see how there were those who were interested in the message of the gospel. And the Bible even says that some believed. Now, don't let verse number 48 throw you off. Well, the Bible says, and as many as were ordained to eternal life, right here, believed. That does not mean that God preordained somebody and all this. No, all that word means there is they were disposed. What that means is this, they were interested. If you're interested in the Word of God and in the truth, you can be saved. But if you're not interested, you're going to be lost for eternity. Now, here's the point tonight. Interest is important. Did you know that? It is important. It, of course, does not signify conversion. In other words, people can be interested and yet be lost. But if there's no interest, there will certainly be no conversion. Now, get this. Our churches have very few in them today. Now, I'm quoting a man here. I'm not saying this. I'm quoting somebody. He said, our churches have very few in them today who show much interest in the message of the Word of God. Few would stop the preacher after the service and beg him to bring another message next Sunday. There's very few who'll do that. Now, the point is this. There are few here and there who are hungry for the Bible. They're few. You know, this lack of interest is one of the great reasons for the spiritual and moral decline in our churches and country today. It's one of the great reasons for it. You know, we are so entertainment-oriented that if a preacher does not entertain, he doesn't tell funny stories, he doesn't have you rolling in the aisles. Now listen, I don't have anything against that in its right perspective. I know some preachers they'll have you busting the gut laughing and crying the next minute. I don't have that gift. I kind of wish I did. You know what I mean? I'm not preaching against humor. I have a little bit of it myself, especially when I look in the mirror. Amen. But anyway, there's nothing wrong with humor, but folks, listen to me. We have fallen into something that we need to get out of. And that is this. This desk, this pulpit, our pulpits in our Sunday school classes, everywhere where the Word of God is taught, that should be enough, my friends, is that somebody gets up and preaches the Word of God faithfully and they're not going to add to it, they're not going to take away from it. Folks, it's so few and far between today. I mean, show me
a number of churches that the man of God is going to get up and preach, "Thus saith the Lord." And when you have a man like that, you ought to thank God for it, friends. I'm not saying thank God for me. I'm thinking of Preacher Lassiter today. I'm thinking of those men of God that I heard at Crown College. I'm thinking of those men of God that come up in this pulpit. And you know when they open the Bible, you don't have to worry about it. They're going to preach the truth. Isn't it a blessing to be in a church like that? Sure it is. And we see here that some people want it. Some people want it. These people right here that we're looking at, they wanted the message. They desired the message. Number two, some rejected the message. We're just looking at the results. The results. Some wanted it. Some didn't. Some received it. Some rejected it. Has really anything changed? No, it has not. We see this in verses 45 and 46. We see it again in verses 50 and 51. Another result of Paul's message is there were some who did not want anything to do with it, and they rejected the truth of the gospel. Now, when you read those verses 45, 46, 50, and 51, there were Jews there who got envious at the crowd that came to hear the word of God the week later. And the Bible says that they spoke against what Paul preached, and they even went as far as to blaspheme. That's what the Bible says. A little later, we read how the Jews stirred influential people of the city. Verses 50 and 51, they were stirring the devout women, the influential females in that city, and the other rulers in that place. And because of that, they raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. And the Bible says they expelled them out of their coast. But if you read verse number 51, what did they do? They shook the dust off their feet. Does that sound familiar? Sound familiar? Well, the Lord tell his disciples when he was on planet Earth, go preach peace to that city, and if they don't want it, you shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Now, let me say something to you here, friends. Now, this is beyond me. And don't you ever give up on somebody as long as there's breath in their body. That's God's business, not my business. But in this day right here, Paul and Barnabas knew God was finished. And when they said no, Paul and Barnabas was expelled, and they took the dust of their shoes and shook it off to the city. You know what this tells me? This was signifying that you are guilty. You have heard the message, and you have chosen the judgment of God, and you will get it. You know, it's a dangerous thing to reject the message of the gospel. Dangerous thing. May we as a church, me as an individual, you as an individual, never be known to shake the dust off our feet on somebody. But I'll tell you one thing. If God Almighty ever shakes the dust off his foot towards somebody, it's over. Let me ask you a question. Does the Tri-Cities need to hear what I just said? Do your co-workers and family members and relatives and your loved ones and your neighbors that right now you know they're on their way to hell, do they need to hear what I just said? Then go get them in here. Because I promise you, if they come, we'll preach it straight. We'll give it to them straight. Some don't want it. Reminded of the story here that a preacher tells this story that the Christ rejectors of Antioch remind us of the story of a man named Aaron Burr. Maybe you've heard his story. At the age of 19, he was a brilliant student in Princeton University. A revival broke out on campus. Can you imagine that? Revival at Princeton University. He was deeply convicted. His roommate asked him to accept Christ, and he was almost persuaded. He went to see one of his professors and told him about his dilemma, and the professor gave him a Bible and told him, go to your room, settle this matter on your knees.
Instead of doing this, he tried to shake off the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, in desperation, Aaron Burr cried out, "God, let me alone, and I'll let you alone." As soon as he said it, all conviction left him. Years later, he met a friend that he admired a whole lot. Aaron Burr was a doctor now, and his friend said, "Dr. Burr, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine." Mr. Burr said, "If he's anything like you, I'll be glad to meet him." The other man said, "His name is Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to meet him." When he heard that, a cold sweat popped out on Dr. Burr's forehead, and he told about how at the age of 19 he had said, "God, let me alone, and I'll let you alone." Then he said, "From that day to this, I have never had one desire to become a Christian." Do not say, "God, let me alone," because he may do just that. Instead, the world ought to be saying, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I need you now. I need you when I come down to die. I need you when I stand out yonder before the judgment bar of God." The point is this. We're just looking at, all we're doing is looking at the results of Paul's message. That's all we're doing. Some wanted it. Some didn't. Some received it. Some rejected it. Some were converted. Some criticized. Some became a child of God. Others rejected and are burning in hell. The point here is, just as there were those who wanted the message, there were those who did not. Look here, please. I remember when I first started preaching. I was a teenager. I preached my first sermon in seventh grade in FCA at Lamar Middle School. My memory's terrible, but I can remember certain things. Like, it was the worst thing you've ever heard in your life. Hadn't gotten much better, but anyway, it was the worst thing you've ever heard in your life. I remember getting a phone call when I went back to school. I was at Gray School at this time, and I was in seventh grade. I can't remember who told me, but I got the phone call that one of my friends, somebody that I played ball against, and so on, I think it was him, if my memory serves me correct, or maybe it was a girl, I can't remember. Somebody called me to tell me that somebody had trusted Christ as their Savior after my first sermon. It's like God just trying to tell me, "This is it, son. This is what I've got for you." For multiple services after that, I'm talking about preaching as a teenager. I'm going somewhere with this, friends. For multiple services after that, every time I would preach, because I wasn't pastoring, obviously, it was special days. You know, people would have me for an athlete Sunday, and I would come in not as Jody the Baptist, but Jody the baseball player, and I would come in and preach. And every service that I can remember, for many services, every service I preached, somebody trusted Christ, somebody got saved, somebody asked the Lord in their heart. I got used to that, and I got to where I started expecting that. But the more I preached, the more services would come and go, and nobody would walk the aisle. As a young person, I would get discouraged. I'm 39, getting ready to turn the big 4-0 this year. And I'm going to tell you something. It is not my business who walks the aisle. God only expects me to faithfully give the message. That's it. What the crowd does with it is between them and God. Some will say yes. Some will say no. Don't get tripped up when somebody says no. You ever been going strong and you're doing something for God and everything's great and all this kind of stuff? Boy, you're on cloud nine, and then somebody criticizes you. Somebody slams the door in your face. "Get off my property." Or they just persecute you at work. What does the devil try to whisper to you?
Just throw in the towel. Just quit, man. Quit on God. Let me tell you something, friends. It's been this way since here. It's not changed. It's not going to change. If anything, it's going to get worse. That there are some who say yes. There are some who say no. Now, look here, please. If you'll let it, that'll help you tonight. That'll help you. You cannot expect everybody to say yes. I wish they did, don't you? I even tell some folks, and I'm trying to witness to them and tell them about the Lord. Sometimes I'll tell them when I get down to the gospel net where I'm starting to try to draw the net and try to win them to Christ, all this kind of stuff. I'll say, listen, God has not made it to where we can stick it down your throat. And sometimes I'll say, I wish I could. Because I do wish I could. Open your mouth. You're getting him. Don't you wish you could do that with some people? Sure. God's not made it that way. You know, he's a gracious God, isn't he? Isn't he a patient God? I mean, think about yourself. I'm thinking about me. Thinking about me. How patient has God been with me? How patient has he been with me? Some say yes, some say no. Let me give you a third thing. A third result from Paul's message is the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. This is found in verse number 52. Now, when I was reading this, I thought this was Paul and Barnabas. And I still think they're included here, okay? But I agree that the word disciples here are those that Paul and Barnabas left behind. It's the ones who trusted Christ. Now, folks, listen. You know, it's interesting to note how when the disciples, right here, these disciples were filled with joy. Joy. But notice when it happened. Verse number 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Let me ask you a question. Let's say it's Paul and Barnabas. I think it's all of them, okay? All of them. Let's take Paul and Barnabas. They've been having the time of their life, preaching the gospel. Almost the whole city came. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Almost the whole tri-cities came just to let me preach the gospel to them. Wouldn't that be a tremendous day? Sure it would. They had to be on cloud nine. I mean, here it is. Some of them saying yes, yes, yes. And they're trusting Christ left and right. I mean, they're getting saved. But then all of a sudden, here the opposers are, here the enemies are, and they start stirring key people in the city, influential people in the city, and they start persecuting them, and they kick them out of the city. You know what this tells me about Paul and Barnabas? Because again, personally, I think it's all that is all of them. Paul and Barnabas didn't leave saying, good night, can you? What's God doing to us? No. They went to the next place with the joy of the Holy Ghost inside of them. And folks, the disciples that were left behind had the joy of the Holy Spirit in them. Now let this speak to you. This goes to show that the opposition may stop a person, but it cannot stop the Holy Ghost. I mean, listen, no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, the joy of the Holy Ghost can be inside you even if persecution is ruling and reigning. One man said the missionaries might have had to leave their new converts, but the Holy Spirit didn't leave them. Amen. He filled them. Their joy resounded through the city. The Jews might be able to drive out the servants of God, but they could not drive out the Spirit of God. So often the evangelist has to move on, and the missionary cannot stay, but the Holy Spirit knows how to nurture and nourish his own. The point here is this. Here's the third result. Those who trusted the message, those who trusted Christ, those who wanted it and acted upon it, trusted the Lord and got saved. The result of that message was true joy. You know what the world's searching for? Joy. They'll tell you it's happiness. No, it's not. They don't even know what happiness is. Happiness depends on what happens to you. That's what it is. They are not searching for happiness. They are searching for joy. They are searching for what nothing on earth can contradict. They are searching for what nothing on earth can knock away. They are searching for what nothing on earth can take away. It's called joy. It's called peace. It's called contentment. It's called true joy. And we see that true joy comes from the message of the gospel. And when you trust Christ, you find what you are looking for. This is a result of the message. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit of God inspired this verse to be used last. Right after they're being persecuted and kicked out of the city. Let me ask you a question. Do you think these Christians hated to see Paul and Barnabas kicked out? Yes or no? Sure. That's the ones who brought me the truth. God used them to change my life. They're kicking them out. Oh, it's terrible. No. No. Sure, they'd want them with them. But they had something inside that even kicking those that they love out of the city, it could not disrupt in their heart the joy they had, the peace they had, the contentment they had. They were now right with God, and nothing could shake them from that. Let me ask you a question. Have you let some circumstance in this life steal your joy? Isn't it easy to do? Honestly, isn't it easy to do? I mean, something happens, something bad happens, or something you didn't choose, or anything, or persecution, or this, or that. I mean, just fill in the blank. Have you had something happen recently that the devil's trying to steal your joy from it? Let me say this to you. No matter what it is, no matter what it is, we still ought to have joy in our heart that we are going to see Jesus someday. Nothing should steal our joy from our heart that we have trusted Christ as our Savior and everything is looking good on the other side. This is it. This is it. And we need to have the same result in our heart tonight. Let me ask you a question. Answer this. Not out loud, just silently, between you and God. Are you a joyful Christian? Are you full of joy? I mean, you found it. You're not searching for it anymore. You got it. If you're there saying, no, I'm torn all to pieces. I haven't had that in a long time. Look at me, please. Let me help you. Let me pastor you, not pester you, but pastor you a little bit. One of the greatest things you can do, the greatest things you can do is get on your face and say, Holy Spirit of God, empty me and fill me. Holy Spirit of God, empty me of me. Help me stop looking at that. Fill me with the Holy Spirit of God and help me to keep my eyes on Jesus. Do you understand joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit? You show me somebody who's lost their joy, I show you somebody who's not filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I'm guilty, friends. I've been there. I've been there. Isn't life like this? Can I get an amen or not, friends? Isn't life like this? Up and down, up and down, up and down. You're on the mountaintop, you're in the valley. Everything's going great, great. All of a sudden, the rug's just pulled out from underneath you. I mean, it's just up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Even though life goes like this, your joy can go like this. It doesn't have to change. That's one of the results of the message. We need that today, amen? Now, in this passage, we read about Paul standing to his feet and telling those people there that day to give audience. Listen, understand, get ready to heed. He wanted their undivided attention. He had something vitally important to tell them. And he wanted them to hear it.
and act upon it. There were four things. Let me quickly just review them with you. Number one, give audience to the departure of John. John was with them. John will be used greatly later in life. But at this time, in verse number 13, I believe it is, he left them. There's no doubt it was like their heart left them. Rock solid. With them. One day, gone the next. But even though John left, Paul and Barnabas just kept on going. The point there that we learned is that when others quit on the Lord's will, you don't have to. Number two, give audience to the opportunity Paul had. Paul went to the synagogue, and he was given the divine opportunity to stand to his feet and share the gospel. They said, "Men, you have anything you want to say, go ahead." And like I said Sunday morning, that's the wrong thing to say to the Apostle Paul. You got anything to say? Say it. You think he's going to sit there and say, "No, I think I'll pass." Not Paul. Paul stood to his feet. I mean, I say this to you, God gives his children opportunities like he did Paul here. And may we be bold to stand and proclaim Jesus like Paul did. Number three, give audience to the message that Paul preached. And we should unashamedly point all people to Jesus like Paul did and warn them of rejecting him. And then tonight we ought to give audience to the results of the message. There will be some who want it, some who don't. Some who say yes, some who say no. But we who have said yes, even when the going gets tough, the joy can still be full in our hearts. That's chapter 13, verses 13 to 52. And I can't hardly wait to even start on chapter 14. I don't even know what it is yet. But I can't hardly wait to get to it. May the Lord help us with this. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we, Father? Would you bless and help us tonight to be faithful to you and your word. Thank you for the power of it. And help us, Lord, to learn these vital lessons. That when others leave, we don't have to. That you give us opportunities and help us to say yes. That our message should be the same message as Paul preached, and that is pointing people to Jesus. And the results, some say yes, some say no. Some will be converted, some will criticize. Some are interested, some are not. Encourage our hearts just to be faithful. And we who have found Jesus Christ and Christ has found us, may we be full of the Holy Spirit of God and full of joy. And may we not let the circumstances of life rob our joy. Speak to us, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I wonder tonight, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Or are you in danger of what Aaron Burr did, saying no to God for a final time, to the point to where he now says no to you? If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ, come, let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you. Or maybe tonight God is speaking to you because you've been discouraged because somebody quit. Somebody quit on God. Or somebody left. Somebody's moved away. God's speaking to you. That doesn't mean you quit. Doesn't mean you move away. Doesn't mean you stop. Or maybe God's speaking to you about taking advantage of divine opportunities, or maybe moving into the message tonight, the results. Maybe you just need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and let the joy of Jesus Christ rule and reign. Have you be honest and say, "Jody, I know that joy is available and I need it." Be honest, would you raise your hand? You say, "Boy, I need that. I need that." Yes, God help you. May the Lord help you. There's so many times in my life when I would have to raise my hand to that same question. And may the Lord help us over the circumstances of life just to trust Jesus, to rest in Him. May the Lord help us. If you need to be saved or you just want to come and pray, whatever it is, I'm going to pray, ask Brother Gary to begin to sing, and you come. Use this altar. talk to the Lord. Father, take it and bless it, I pray. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you, you want to come, come on. Brother Gary's singing, you come on.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled?
You need joy tonight. You need the filling of the Holy Ghost tonight.
Light in the darkness you see.
God spoke to you tonight. Come on.
There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
They're playing through softly. I'd like for several of our folks, if you wouldn't mind, to come and to gather around the Radfords here. Victoria, she's doing fine, but they found an abnormality in her heart, and they're going to be going to Vanderbilt to have this fixed. Thank God they can fix this. We thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord they found it, and so on. So I want us to pray over her, ask the Lord to take care of it. No question about it. We praise the Lord that God has revealed this, because this is something that if it wasn't revealed, could cause problems. So we rejoice in the goodness of God, that He revealed it, and that He's gifted doctors to be able to take care of things like this. But there's no question that there's anxiety and maybe some fear. That's the flesh. That's normal. But God can give peace. So let's pray together. Unite together as a church family. What a precious family this is. And we're going to believe God. Father, we thank You for the privilege to pray. And we thank You, Lord God, that You have revealed this. We know that You knew about this before she was even created. You've allowed this. And Lord, I know that this can be a very trying time. At the same time, it could be a time where Victoria, her mom, her dad, her family look back to that and say, boy, that's where God became so real to us. I pray You grant it. And Lord, I pray if it's Your precious will that You'll take care of this. I pray that You'll guide the doctor's hands. Not even sure who it's going to be, but You know who it is. And I pray that You prepare the doctor. I pray that You'll guide their hand to make right decisions. And we trust that through this, everything's going to be just fine. Would You give peace that passeth understanding? And may You be glorified through it. Would You keep the devil away from their minds? Keep the devil away from their hearts? And Holy Spirit of God, may the joy that I preached on tonight be so evident in their home, in their hearts, in their lives. May the will of God be done, I pray. We love You tonight. We thank You for who You are. We give You praise and glory for what You're going to do. Thank You again for who You are. We honor You. We praise You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have faith in God, He's on His throne. Have faith in God, He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail,
He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
Come right ahead.